2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment, to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in might and might bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as brutal, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are whales without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption." Now this is talking about people who dwell with you, who go come to church with you, who actually fellowship with you, who come walk in these doors. And yet they live a double life. They think all of this way of life is okay. As long as they can come in, they get a stroking when they come and hear the word of God that kind of soothes their wicked ways and their wicked way of thinking. And they'll come into churches and they'll hear a preacher and they'll think, and they'll pay tithes and they'll do good things. And they think that that gives them a pass, that they can go out and be anything and do anything they want. But it gives them a pass because they're good. They've come to church, you know. They've paid their tithes. They, you know, they're not so bad. But God's looking at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God is looking at the adulterous, covetous greediness within us that God, only God's blood can redeem us from. We've got to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have to be literally made a new creature. The Word of God says that we are, he that has accepted Christ has become a new creature. A new creature that wants God 100%. I had to become a new creature, or heaven wouldn't have been heaven to me. If I had not become a new creature in Christ Jesus and had a desire and a hunger and a godly fear of God and a desire to go to heaven and begin to desire to change the way I think and a desire to make heaven my home and to think like God. You know, the only fight that a believer is ever going to have to fight, you know, the only fight you and I have to fight as a Christian is one fight, the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith, and the good fight of faith is called the good fight because it's a fight that's already been won. But it's your faith that's going to have to fight the good fight of faith. It's you that's got to fight the good fight of faith. Now, this won't make any sense at this moment, but I'm going to bring it out. And I want to help you see that it is not an impossibility to go to heaven. It's not an impossibility to enjoy heaven right here. It's not an impossibility to enjoy your walk with God and enjoy your inheritance right now in the saints, because it's not for way off yonder. I don't have a rag of robe of rags on getting ready to change it off and put on a robe of white when I get into heaven, like so many songs sing. It makes me puke when I hear music that talks about how I'm a poor beggar and I'm just struggling through this world and I've just got a rag on my back and I'm poor and I'm struggling and I'm having a hard time, because that's not the word of God. That's not the word that I know God has given me as a believer. I'm to walk in victory 100% of the time. I to know that I've been given a new life, a new name written in heaven. I have a citizenship in heaven. I am a citizen of the kingdom, and I'm supposed to act like it now. I enjoy the benefits of the kingdom now. I enjoy the benefits of all God has provided for me now. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to enjoy heaven. I can enjoy heaven now. But the problem is, if you don't get you out of the way, you're not going to know anything about the promises. You're not going to know anything about how accessing the provision. You got to access kingdom of God with your spirit man. And if you don't know how to do that, you are going to be miserable.
Amen.
Miserable. You're a miserable believer. Miserable. Unhappy. You will be struggling through this world.
Amen.
You will be suffering for Jesus. I'm just suffering for Jesus. I don't suffer for Jesus. He did all the suffering for me. He bore my griefs. He carried my sorrows. What am I doing it? He bore it all away. He took my sins. He bore my sicknesses. I don't have to be sick another day in my life. Not another day. Shame on you if you let a headache even dominate you. Shame on you if you have any illnesses in your body. That's what God promised us. Unto us has been given exceeding great and precious promises. But by these promises, you can be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Sin is corruptive. Sin is destructive. Sin is a wicked, wicked cancer of the soul and the spirit and the mind. Sin is bad, bad. And all sin really is disobedience to God. Sin is being disobedient to God. God is a sovereign God, and He has a standard. Heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is a glorious place, and everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants heaven in them. Nobody wants to live in heaven here. Nobody wants heaven to be a part of them now. They want to live any way they want to live here and embrace corruption, embrace lying, cheating, stealing. Do you know none of that stuff exists in heaven? Let me tell you an example of something. My father was a good man. I had a good daddy. He was absent a lot because my mother was so mean to him, he'd run off, but I had a good dad. And you know why I thought he was a good dad? Because he never missed a day of work in his life. He worked 38 years in a Detroit steel mill in Portsmouth, Ohio, or New Boston, Ohio. 38 years he worked. 38 years, never missed a day. In fact, they called him Hoggy because he did all the overtime he could do. He raised the farm. He raised the garden. He was a good man. He never cheated on my mother. Now, he liked his whiskey now. He loved his whiskey, and he loved his guitar and his banjo and his fiddle. But he was not a bad man. But when this little girl here got born again and met Jesus and experienced God in my kitchen, and I went to my dad and I said, "Mom and Dad, this is what happened to me," they didn't want to hear nothing about it. Didn't want to know nothing about it. And every time I'd go visit my parents, I'd say, "Daddy, you better give your heart to Jesus." He's about 62 years old at the time. Because he was 40 when I was born. He was 40 years old when I was born. So he was old when I come along, in my mind. He was already old. I don't remember my daddy having anything but gray hair. We'd go places with Mom and Dad, and they'd say, "Is that your grandkids?" Because I have a younger sister. I have a sister who's 75 years old and a brother who just passed away at 70. But I came into this world, I believe God brought me to win my family. I believe that I'm called by God to not just win my family, but to win lots of people. And He gave me this experience So I can have a burden for the lost. And I know God is real. I saw Jesus. Jesus appeared to me in my living room. I mean, I'm looking at here. You don't forget that. So I go to my dad and I said, Daddy, you better get right with God. You better give your heart to Jesus. Daddy, there's a real heaven and there's a real hell. And he would just get so upset with me and he'd go running off. I don't want to hear it. This is what Dad would do. I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me about Jesus. I don't want to talk religion. I don't talk politics. Don't talk it. Don't come up here talking this stuff. I don't want to hear it. And he'd run off, slam the door, go to his bedroom, wait for me to leave. Wait for me to leave. I went through this for years. I'm fasting for my dad. Oh, God, send him people that'll witness to him. Because I knew my dad was hard-hearted, hard-headed. Because he was such a good man. He was such a good man. He hadn't really done anything to not make heaven. But he wasn't born again. And I knew he wasn't born again. And I knew he would have went to hell if he died in that state of an unregenerated spirit. His heart had to become a new creature heart for God. He had to have a heart for God. So this went on for years. And one day, I was in the home visiting again, and he started that stuff again. I mean, every time. I don't want to hear it. I've told you 1,000 times, girl, I don't want to hear it. Cop coming up here talking religion. And the Holy Spirit got on me, and I started preaching. I mean, I started preaching to my dad. You know what the Holy Spirit had me say to him? He said, and his eyeballs got this big around. I said, you don't want to hear about Jesus. You don't want to hear about Jesus. I mean, I'm jumping up and down screaming this. You don't want to hear about Jesus. I said, you can just forget heaven, Daddy. Just forget heaven. You'll never go there. Because heaven would not be a good place for you. If you can't stand hearing about Jesus here, you can forget it. Because in heaven, all they do is talk Jesus, 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 Jesus. You think you're hearing Jesus here from me, you just wouldn't be happy in heaven. Heaven wouldn't be heaven to you, Daddy. See, people think they're going to have a happy time in heaven. Well, they're miserable here serving God. They ain't going to be happy in heaven either. His eyeballs got big and his mouth dropped open. And this is what else I said to him. I said, you can just go to hell and you'll never have to worry about hearing about Jesus again in hell. Ever. Enough said. He never said another day. Never day did he ever tell me not to talk about Jesus. Because God got it over to him. He had a word for him that day through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Wow. He never again, ever said, I don't want to hear about Jesus again. And I believe my daddy went to heaven. I believe he went to heaven. He was so stubborn. At the age of 83, he had liver cancer. He had a mass size of a grapefruit metastasized to his liver. And I knew he wasn't ready yet. And I got before God and I cried out to God. I laid on my face before God. I said, God, my dad's not ready. He ain't ready. I said, give him more time, just like you did Hezekiah. Give him more time to get his house in order. And I told my daddy, I said, Daddy, you better get your house in order. They gave him 3 weeks to live. 3 weeks to maybe possibly, if he did chemo, 3 months at the most. He's 83 years old. And I literally fell on my face before God. And I cried out for my God. You know, you can intercede for people. That's why we need to pray for each other and have a burden for each other. I mean, really care about each other, whether we make heaven or not. I care whether everybody goes to heaven. So I'm crying out to God, and God answered that prayer. I just know that a lot of people are praying for my dad, but nobody was praying for my daddy like I was praying for my daddy. Because I tell you what, I love my dad. You love your parents. You don't want them spending eternity in hell? And he's got a cancerous growth the size of a grapefruit, a metastasized to his liver. They give him 3 weeks to live. God gave him 3 more years. Wow. It went completely away. Wow. It completely dissolved, like it never was there. Wow. He lived a healthy 3 more years. And when it came back, he was gone in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I call him, I said, Daddy, you better get your house in order. Better get your house in order. What I'm talking about, get your house in order, is get your heart right with God. Mm-hmm. Get your priorities right. Straighten up the way you think. Start believing the Word of God is really the Word of God. Change what you're doing. If you know God isn't happy with the way you're living, you better change. You better change. Because sin is not going into heaven. It's just not. A wrong heart isn't going into heaven. Only those who have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. You know, he became sin that you could be made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he became sin that you may be made the righteousness of God in him. Everything's in him. So I just wanted to really begin this message with that understanding that if you are not right with God in your heart, you get on your face before God and you get it right in here. You change. Say, God, I'm going to change what I'm doing. I'm going to stop watching pornography. I'm going to stop doing anything that would be offensive to heaven. If I can't do it in heaven, I'm not going to do it here. If I can't cuss in heaven, I'm not going to like cussing here. If you like being bad here, you're not going to be happy in heaven, because heaven will be a miserable place for you, because you won't be doing any gambling there. You won't be doing any cheating there. You won't be doing any lying there. You won't be doing any manipulating there. You won't be doing anything bad there. If you're used to living out your life doing bad things, you won't be happy in heaven. That's just the bottom line. If that's been a way of life, you're not going to enjoy heaven. Whew, it's awful quiet in here, ain't it? But is it the truth? It's just the truth. Okay, now we got a problem. We got a problem. How do you... I was 22 years old. Here was my problem. I'm 22 years old. I go to all these churches. You know, I got to go to church. I mean, God's got a hold of me. Didn't own a dress. Didn't even have a dress to go to church in. What I did have, I think I had a mini skirt, but I wouldn't have worn it to church. You know, I had to, where do I go to church? Where do I go, God? Wherever place I ever went, they were always condemning you. Hey, I beating me up. I felt worse when I'd leave church than when I went. I was a dirty, no good sinner in every church I went to. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find a church that would teach me right nothing. I said, God, I got a problem. I don't know where to go to church where I'm going to really hear the word taught to me. How am I going to grow thereby? It says in Peter, to desire the sincere milk of the word, that you can grow thereby. I needed some nourishment, how to grow in the things of God. I needed to know how to be an overcomer from these temptations of my body and my life and my flesh. How do I live for you, God? I'm stuck here on planet Earth where there's a real devil, where there's all these people that are mean to me and hateful to me and hate me, and the devil's working through. How do I live for you? How do I maintain a right heart towards you? How do I live for you, God? How do I do this? The pressure's too much. I feel like I'm in a pressure cooker all the time. To sin, to go back in the ways of the world. Let me tell you, I enjoyed sin. I enjoyed it. It's fun. Don't be lying. You do too. You like it too. I smoked a marijuana. I smoked a joint every day of my life. 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I was a freight train, just a puffing away. That's the truth. It's a good thing I have a new heart. But see, the problem was, how do you maintain your walk with God? How do you stay the center of the road with God? How do you make heaven your home? Okay, I'm born again. I got that. I know God is in my heart. I know I'm filled. Now, then I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Everybody needs to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's the evidence of speaking in tongues. It just gives you such more power, such more ability to serve God. But even at that, you still got you to deal with. And a lot of your problem is within your mind and way you think. First of all, let me just break it down this way. You got to first want to make heaven your home. You just got to want to sell out to God. Whatever you want, here I am. I'm up. I'm up for it. Here I am. And then God will help you. He'll put you in the right church. He will begin to lead you and help you understand how to live for him and how to make heaven your home. How to deal with the devil. There's scripture that says many, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh yeah, I got that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I used to cry and boo-hoo and bawl about all the afflictions of the righteous and sing sad songs about the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, it's so bad here. Oh, just let's woe is me. Let's just feel bad about ourselves. Let's just feel sorry. And I used to go to all the churches where they made you feel so sad and sorry that you're a Christian and you're just going to be so miserable and you're just going to have to struggle through this life. And oh my goodness, it's just a hard walk, you know. Never did I ever hear about the victory. Never did I ever hear how to be an overcomer. Never did I understand how to walk in the power of God and the anointing of God. I never heard a preacher talk about the ability to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Just hang at the cross and just barely get through. Yes, there is a cross to bear. Got to bear my cross. Got to suffer with Jesus, you know. But what about the ascension? What about sitting at the right hand of God? What about being on the ability to get in the presence of God? What about ability to speak to your mountains? What about the ability to tread upon scorpions and serpents and nothing shall by any means hurt you? What about all those promises? What about all that? Well, nobody knows much about all that. They've never been into those waters. Those are uncharted seas. They've never gone out there and lived in that realm of the victorious believer. They don't understand how to live for God. They don't know how to enjoy God. They just think God's mad at them all the time. Am I preaching to anybody in here? Because you are made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you're just like a baby and you've got to grow thereby. You've got to get some revelation in your... It's all about... You know what? You cannot believe God one above one ounce of what you don't know. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith, let me say that again. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You got to know the will of God before you can believe God. And if you never taught the will of God, then you don't know the will of God. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. Why does he appoint preachers? So they can preach the word. He told Peter and John, get out there. The angel went and said, opened the prison gate, said, get out there and go stand in the temple and preach to the people and speak to the people all the words of this life. I'm not talking about human living. It's talking about living in the kingdom, living in victory, living in power, living in the anointing, living in overcoming life. That's what it's about. I don't beat people up. I don't expose your sin. I don't talk about your sin. I don't even think about your sin because I don't see you as a sinner. I see you as a new creature in Christ with potential to live for God here right now in all that he's provided. And God knows how to get you shaped up. God knows, my job is to pray for you, ask the Holy Ghost to lead you and guide you here a little, there a little. You can't get it all at once. I couldn't get it all at once, and I'm still getting more all the time. But the foundation has been laid. And there's no other foundation that anybody can lay but Christ Jesus. I just got tired of getting beat up in church. I got tired of getting beat up by other Christians. I got tired of getting condemned by Christians. Christians will condemn you and eat you up and spit you out alive. And they'll walk away feeling so good about themselves. They're so good and holy and they help straighten you up. Ain't nobody can straighten you up but you. And it's the word of God who does it. It's not anything else. God doesn't use bad things to teach you anything either. That's the biggest lie the devil ever perpetrated through the church even. It's the Holy Ghost teaching you by the word. That's how he teaches you. And John, it says that you have no need that any man teach you, but that same anointing will teach you some things, all things. He teaches you through his word because the Holy Spirit and the word agree. My biggest thing is get in the word. Find out what the word says about your problem because you cannot believe God beyond what you know what his will is. You have to know the will of God. Will of God is God. If he says that by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, don't add nothing to that. Just believe it. Believe it. Believe that healing was provided in the atonement. Believe that by his stripes you were healed. That's past tense. It happened 2,000 years ago, you know. It happened 2,000 years ago. In the mind of God, everything that was ever provided has already been provided 2,000 years ago. Pivotal moment in history of mankind was when Christ came and died on that cross and took his blood and took it to the real brazen altar and presented it to God and said, here it is. I'm the final high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and I am getting ready to take my high priestly position for the human race for eternity, forever. It's a covenant he cut with his own body. I don't have to cut a covenant with God. Jesus did it for me.
I just entered into the covenant. I entered into his provision. I entered into his salvation. Jesus told us what he came to do, and he did it. He said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Abundance means having more than you ever know what to do with. I'm talking Jesus has provided abundance for the believer if the believer will just lay hold on it and get the sin out of your life, because the sin will hinder your walk with God every single day. Sell out to God. My recommendation, sell out to God. Say, I want to lay down anything, God, that's hindering my walk. You know, in Isaiah, I believe, 1:8 or 1:9, he says, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. That's under Old Covenant. And another thing I want to share with you about Old Covenant, there's Old Covenant, New Covenant. See, well, we don't live by the Old Covenant. But let me tell you something. God is a covenant-keeping God. When he cut a covenant with Abraham, thousands of years ago, and on you, when you read Genesis and you get a revelation of how God entered into covenant relationship with a man for the covenant that was to be an everlasting covenant. It was an everlasting covenant. He was setting it up. And every promise he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Oh, just read about the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. And God is a covenant-keeping God to 1,000 generations. And if he made a promise to the Jewish nation, which are the seed of Abraham, he isn't taking those promises back. God never takes away the good. He just took away the curse. You see, the curse was taken away. The good is still there. Every promise is still yours. 2.5 million Jews or Hebrew people walked in the wilderness for 40 years and their shoes never wore out. There was not one feeble among them, and they never were ever sick. That's good of the land, wouldn't you think? And it was a barren land. They never went without food. They never went without water in a desert. Don't you tell me God can't take care of me or you. You don't have to manipulate and cunningly devise ways to get money or devise ways to make it work. God says he'll take care of you if you'll serve him. See, I had to come. I said, God, how do I live for you? This is so hard. Nobody knows how to live for you. Just be good. Excuse me? Just be good? I'm conditioned to be bad. How do you condition yourself to be good? The only way to change you is the Word of God. The only thing that changed my way of thinking and saved my soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, is to decide in your heart, I'm going to find out what God thinks about every single thing. I'm going to live for God, and I need some revelation knowledge. Because grace and peace, I got a hold of that verse in Peter, 2 Peter. Grace and peace is multiplied to you through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace comes through the knowledge. And I don't mean just head knowledge, mental assent. I'm talking revelation from God. Word of God. Word of God. Revelation, Word of God. It's got to come by the Holy Ghost. Remember I said a minute ago in John, it talks about, you have no need that any man teach you, but that same anointing. There's an anointing inside you that will teach you right from wrong. You will feel a prick inside you and you'll know. And if you'll give him something to work with and open up your Bible while we still got a Bible to open up and get in the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit talk to you. He promised you in Hebrews 8. He said, I will place my word in your mind. I'll write it in your heart. I'll be to you a God and you will be to me a people. God just wants a people that he can take in and open up his door to heaven and say, you're already prepared. You come on in. You're going to enjoy my home. You're going to enjoy living for me because you know how to practice righteousness. You practice it every day anyway. You know how to worship me. You're going to write it. I got a worship team right over here that you'll fit right in. Come on in. You already know how to dance before me. Here, I got a bunch of people that you'll just have so much fun with because they just like you. You'll just fit right in, Teresa. You'll just fit right in. When I leave this world, I'm going to be fitting right in somewhere in heaven because I've been working on fitting into heaven right here. That's good. Is that right or what? It's not hard to live for God if you just get you out of the way. But we fight the good fight of faith. And you can't have faith until you know the will of God. Faith is only active when the will of God is known. I mean, really known. You got to know it in your knower. Can't just hope so, guess so, maybe try to make it work so. I'm talking, I know so. Because God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Impossible.
You can get anchored in His Word. You can get grounded and rooted and settled. And you can know the love of God. You can comprehend what is the love of God. What is the length, the breadth, the depth, the height? And to know the love of God is really wonderful. And I am just scratching the surface. I know that I am. I know that I am. I mean, I've entered into Revelation. Until we get our minds renewed and we get our souls saved. Your spirit is already saved, but you got to get your soul saved. In James chapter 1, verse 23, I think, or 22, I'm not sure where it is, but receive the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Salvation is a very important thing. To begin to think like God, talk like God, believe what God has said about you. You know what God says about Teresa? God says to me, He said, you are the apple of my eye. Go around doing this sometime. Try this. I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. There's not a hair on my head, but He knows it, you know. He knows every hair. Every hair is numbered. There's not a word in my mouth, but He knows it altogether. I am precious to God. I am special to God. God's crazy about me. God loves me. If nobody else loves me, I know God loves me. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will not fear what man can do unto me because the Lord is my helper. Let me tell you, I got that one down. I got some word in my being, in my spirit, that I know is going to get me into heaven. It's going to take me on into the kingdom. Now, while we're in Peter, I want to go on over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want to show you a verse here. The first message God ever let me preach in 1981 in a church is this right here. Very first message God ever gave me. I will never forget it. I got to preaching, and the whole congregation disappeared. There was this cloud of Shekinah glory. I didn't see anybody, but I saw a door open up over top of the congregation. And God showed me this door. There is a door into heaven. Heaven's got portals. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If you don't have a place in your home that you pray on a regular basis, you need to make your own portal to heaven. You need to find your own prayer closet. You need to find a designated place. If you ever walk to a church and you find somebody and you feel where they've been sitting and you know they're mean and hateful and you're just like, ooh, I feel something back, some vibes going on there. You can feel things about people. You can get around people because you're spiritual. See, it may not necessarily even be God telling you something. You just kind of pick stuff up from people because you're spiritual. You're in the presence of God. You're walking in the Spirit. Let's read this. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's start with verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Hallelujah! That's some good news. How big is God's power? How divine is it? How big is it? There's no excuse not to make heaven your home. I'm telling you what I'm sharing with you. There's no reason that you ever have to ever find yourself in hell. Because you can escape judgment. And if the house of God is going to be judged. He says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where's the God ungodly and the sinner stand? You know, there's just too many scriptures. Okay, let's read here. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. There it is. Through the knowledge. If we don't find out what God thinks, if we don't have any revelation knowledge of God's will, and we want to figure it all out on our own, and we listen to a preacher that tells us that we're just going to struggle and we're going to have to bear our cross. We're going to have to suffer for Jesus all the way to heaven to make heaven your home. If you've been brainwashed to think like that, you need to get some knowledge of God because He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. That's how we overcome, by the exceeding great and precious promises that you really, really believe. That's how you overcome. You've already overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and you love not your life unto the death. But what is the word of your testimony? It's going to have to be the exceeding great and precious promises out of your mouth. You're going to have to believe them. You're going to have to speak them. You're going to have to bring them into existence with your mouth. You create an atmosphere around you with your mouth. You're either talking death or you're talking life. I'm telling you, you'll eat the fruit of whatever you're talking. Get me settled down here, God. I got to get into this message here. Hallelujah. So we've been given all things. What's the word all mean? Everybody study the word all out. Y'all, any study the word? Real complicated word, all. But every time I ever see the word all, I see what it means after I studied it. Research the word all. Let the word all really get in you. I got the word all down. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. No reason to not make heaven your home. No reason to ever miss heaven. Or to enjoy heaven while you're here. Because you've been given exceeding great and precious promises. Let me read this. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. See, I like glory. I like virtue. I didn't used to like it, but I like it now. Because these promises changed me. I became a new creature in Christ, but I had to change the way I thought and the way I believed. I had to do some, God's word had to do some work on me. God's word had to go to work on me. And God's word began to work on me and change me. I had to start believing God and not people, not what people said. I had to start believing the word. And he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What are the promises? What in the world is this talking about? What are these great, exceeding great and precious promises? How many great, exceeding great and precious promises do you really embrace? You see, you can't have faith beyond what the will of God is known in your life. What kind of exceeding great and precious promises are you living in? What kind of exceeding great and precious promises are yours? What have you said is mine? What have you made yours exceeding great and precious promises? What have you embraced? Do you know how many? Can you list them? Can you list how many promises you live on every single day of your life? Do you have a list? Make a list of the things you really believe that God said he would do for you. Make a list. And they will come to pass. God cannot lie. So what are the exceeding great? Because that's how you escape the corruption that's in the world. That's how you escape the lust. That's how you escape all the pressure. That's how you escape all the afflictions. Oh, let me tell you, the biggest one is the offenses. Because people are going to be mean to you. People are going to hurt your feelings. People are going to steal from you. People are going to tear up your stuff. People are going to hurt you. I'm going to tell you something. People ain't going to be good to you. Offenses brought people. There are people in hell today. Christians are in hell today who have let offenses get them so angry and so bitter, and unforgiveness is so ripe in them and so rich in them and so real in them, and they're so full of hurt and anger. They're in hell still angry and hurt and mad and never forgiven. Because in heaven, you can't carry that stuff into heaven. You can't carry unforgiveness into heaven. You will not be entering into heaven with all that junk on you. So you better get it out of you. I forgive everybody quickly. I believe that's the secret, not secret, it's not a secret, but I believe that's a key to walking with God, is I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to forgive you. And I'll give it to God and let God deal with you. And that's even worse than me dealing with you. I've been on the way for 35 years. And I have fallen flat. I have failed. I have sinned. And I have let God down many times. I've been a perfect Christian. But I want to know one thing. I'm going to heaven. Amen. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Amen. I know how to repent quickly. I repent quickly. I say, God, forgive me. I failed you. I sinned. I don't let it linger on me. I've learned to forget those things which are behind, and I'm still pressing for a mark. I got heaven as a mark, and it's always there. It's always there. It's always there. And I'm pressing for the kingdom. I don't care. Whereby are given unto us. Who are they given to? Are they given to your neighbor? No, they're given to me. I have these exceeding great and precious promises, and I'm going to live by them, okay? I'm going to make them mine, buddy. They are my promises. I'm going to tell you, let me tell you a few that I got under my belt. Can I share a few? For one, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I was healed. You can't tell me I ain't healed. I don't care what I feel like, what I think, what imagination comes at me. I don't care what comes. I'm healed. Hallelujah. That's word. That's just word of God, and I believe that. Yes. That's my promise from God. Yes. That's my exceeding great and precious promise. I don't mean it in my head. I mean, I have it in my spirit, man. That's my promise. That's an exceeding great and precious promise. Another one is that my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's another one. And you won't let me hear me talk poverty. You won't let hear me talk lack. You won't let hear me ever talk I don't have any money. Because I got all the riches of glory at my disposal. That's what the word says, is it not? Mm-hmm. Are we not talking about life? Exceeding great and precious promise that pertains to life. Everything that pertains to life. God's all about life. God's never about death. The devil's about death, but God's all about life. Yes. God's all about things living. He's the God of the, he is the living God. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Death is never supposed to have happened on this planet. Adam brought death in when he sinned. Everything's supposed to live forever. To get past this particular verse, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be a partaker of the divine nature. And it is also the partaking of these promises that gives you the grace to escape the corruption that's in this world through lust. Don't you think I don't have lust issues just like everybody? I'm a human being. You're a human being. Lust is going to be a problem from here on out for you. I'm 22 years old. Lust is an issue. I'm not talking about just sex. I'm talking about you can overeat, lust to overeat, a lust to oversleep, a lust to overdrink, a lust to just you name it, a lust to gamble, a lust to have things, a lust for stuff, lust. It's a problem. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we all got our weaknesses. Some more so in some areas than others. But that's a corruption that's in the human body. And the devil knows it. But we can overcome by these promises. You can crucify your flesh now. You couldn't before. I couldn't do one thing with myself. Before I got born again and became a new creature in Christ Jesus and have a revelation of the knowledge of God that these exceeding great and precious promises are what is going to get me over and into heaven. And I began to seek the kingdom. Seek you first the kingdom and all these things. And his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. That's a fact. That's just a fact. So we got some promises. I mean, we just need to embrace them. I just shared a few that I have. But and another one is, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know that. You can't run God off of me. You can't run him out of I can't run him off. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Never. Never. No, never. He knows the thoughts that I think. I could just go on and on about the promises. And there's many more coming. There's more promises to come that I'm going to embrace. And it's exciting to live for God. It's fun to live for God. I love living for God. It's not a hard life to me. If I'm still trying to live for the devil and trying to have some lust issues, yeah, I can see it being a problem. But when you're sold out, it's easy because, you know, heaven, you're already a citizen. I'm already there. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. Can we just stop and say diligence? Do y'all know what that means? Anybody know what diligence means? Diligence is a very, very important ingredient if you're going to heaven. If you're not a diligent person, if you're a lazy, slothful Christian, it's really hard to get a hold of these promises because you don't get these laid on your lap with a silver platter. I mean, they're just not going to drop on you. God's not going to take a flash drive and drop it into you and hard drive it in you. You're going to have to do some diligence seeking God. Diligence is an ingredient that you ask God for. If you don't have diligence, I say, God, I've been used to floating through life. I've been used to just getting things just whenever and just don't worry about what time I get up and don't worry about going to work on time and don't worry about being anywhere on time and I just don't care about anything. I'm not diligent about anything. So God, I need some help in this area. So help me be diligent. Well, God will give you this ingredient called diligence. And I'm going to tell you what, a healthy dose of fear of God will kind of help you out there. I got a healthy dose of fear. Believe me. Hallelujah. This is good news today. I'm not beating anybody up, am I? I'm just speaking good news. It's exciting to be able to go to God and go to God boldly. Oh, I love going to God. I go to God and I just know that whatever I ask Him, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it because I live right. I serve Him. I don't get out here and try to live for the devil one day and then go to God when I'm in trouble the next. I live for God all the time. All the time. I please Him all the time. His eyes are upon me. His ears are open to my prayers. I come boldly to Him because I'm always in front of Him. I live in His presence. You can just enjoy the presence of God. I don't try to get behind His back and do anything I do it and He wouldn't be pleased with. You know what I'm talking about. So look at this right here. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. And we're talking revelation knowledge. Knowledge temperance. And to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you. Now I don't have time to go through. I could spend an hour on each and every single one of these ingredients. These are ingredients that you add to your life. These are your ingredients. You know, you're baking a cake, say, for example. You got to put some ingredients in there. And these ingredients are things that will help you. They're not going to hurt you to have these ingredients. Being tolerant of other people is a big one. Being patient and waiting on God to come through with what you believe. All of these things, you know, are very important ingredients to living for God. But the bottom line is this. Verse 8, for if these things, these ingredients, the diligence, the patience, the faith, the love, the understanding, all these things in you, not your head, in you, in your spirit man, the new creature man you are now. If these things have been added to you and you've got them and abound, in other words, you got an abundance of these things. You got an abundance of knowledge, abundance of temperance, abundance of patience. You know, everybody needs to work on patience. I don't have as much as I want. I ain't never going to have as much as I need. But I got more than I had. You know, you probably do too. You probably got way more patience than you realize. You know, when you're a baby, you ain't got patience for nothing. You want it now. Wah, 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 God. Now. I ain't waiting another day for you, God. I'm going to serve you now. You failed. You didn't come through like I expected. That's the way a lot of Christians live for God. Okay, but look at the promise here. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Goes right back to knowledge, right back to revelation, right back to more exceeding great and precious promises. You're going to never have an endless supply of revelation coming at you. You're setting yourself up. It's just like a big old steam engine, getting momentum. You're going down the track. You're adding these things and you know more is coming. More knowledge is coming. More understanding's coming. More revelation's coming. You're going down the track. You're getting more as you go. You're growing in grace. You're growing in faith. You're growing in knowledge. You're growing in understanding. You're getting more wording, more understanding. And then evidences start manifesting. Your prayers start getting answered. And then you realize, whoa, this is really awesome. I'm not a beggar just struggling through life anymore. I've got some promises here I'm walking in. I got some victory. I know I got the victory before I ever have the problem. Isn't that good? I'm in victory mode all the time. All the time. All the time. I've got some notches on my belt. I've done killed the bear. I've done slewed the lion. You know, the word says he teaches in Psalms. He teaches our hands to war. And that a bow of steel is broken by mine arm. If these things be in you and abound, this just makes me want to dance. I tell you, and he said, because they're going to make you. These things are going to make you. It's going to like, you got the buoy. Are you, if you got a buoy on, if you got a life jacket on, are you making yourself float on the surface of the water? Is the life jacket doing it? It's the life jacket that's holding you up above water from sinking. And what do you do when you're on that, got that big old life jacket on? You're just enjoying the water. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you were within 200 feet of water, you'd be on the surface, wouldn't you? Wouldn't matter. Because they make you that you are neither barren nor unfruitful. Unfruitfulness means you never have to worry about not having everything you need. You have shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You have God's peace. You have God's rest. You've got healing. You've got every promise and every provision is a yes to God. God ain't never saying no to you. He always is saying yes. His promises are always yes and amen to the glory of God the Father. We are our worst enemy. So these things make you that you'll never. Look what it says here. These things make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. More knowledge, more revelation, more understanding about the angels. You know, the angels desire to look into the things we're talking about here today. We had angels in here. But look at the downside, the negative side of that. And I hate to say it, but I believe most believers are in verse 9. Most believers, they're just struggling, trying to figure it all out on their own. They never get into the promises of God. And they don't know a thing about good fight of faith. They don't know how to walk by God. They don't know how to walk in the Word of God. They don't know how to let the Word of God live in them. Remember, the will of God, you cannot pray effectively either. You can't, the will of God is the Word of God. And your faith will never work beyond what you know. It's when the Word is revealed that you'll have faith. Then you can start speaking into some things. You can start speaking to mountains. You know, fig trees. Did he curse a fig tree? He said, have faith in God. I'm not going there, but let's finish this. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. This is talking about a Christian who's backslidden. That's on their way to hell. Ain't going to heaven. Ain't living in heaven now. Don't understand heaven now and will never make it in. Because they don't want the kingdom way of life. Because they weren't diligent. They weren't seeking. They weren't encouraged, maybe not even encouraged to seek God. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, but hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Listen to verse 10. Wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make. Who makes your calling election sure? God? No, you do it. You make your calling and election sure. I'm the one responsible to whether I make it into heaven or not. Jesus has already done everything he's going to do to get me into heaven. Jesus has done everything. He set everything up. Let me see if I can help you understand this. It's me. It's me now. I've got it. It's my responsibility to go to heaven. It's my responsibility to love God, love his people, pray for his people. It's me. I got to do it. Jesus has done everything he's ever going to do about making sure I make heaven my home. He's not coming down adding anything else to his word. His promises are sure. Peter said in one place there, he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a word of prophecy. All we can do is believe it. We got to do some our part now. And so he says that, make your calling election sure. For if, here's the word if. You know what? The word if, you never, I'm telling you, never. When you go to God with a need, you don't go to God and say, God, will you give this to me or will you do this for me if it be your will? You might as well forget ever getting that prayer answered. You better find what the will of God is and say, thank you for this. I praise you that this is your will. I'm praying the word of God. I don't pray my answer or my problem. I pray my answer. I don't go to God and say, if it be your will for me to be healed. Because it's already his will for me to be healed. That is the dumbest thing ever. Dumb. If it be your will to be healed. And God, I'm sure, is saying, my church, I've already provided healing. My son was stripped naked. He was beaten with 39 stripes. I can't add another thing to that. If you don't accept that, what he did for that to receive the healing, it's about you now believing what he did. God isn't going to come down and magically touch you with a magic wand and just, boom, heal you. You access that anointing of healing. You access that power of God for your healing through believing the Word. Everything now is through the Word of God that you believe. Amen. Everything. Amen. We try to get God to come down and add something else to what he's already done, and he can't. He won't. He wants you to believe what he says. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you, who does it? You do it. You do these things, you shall never fall. I'll never forget when I first read that. I'm thinking, that's what I needed to hear. Because I don't want to fall. I didn't want to fall. I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to sin. It wasn't in me to do that. But God was showing me, here's how you bake the cake. Here's how you live for me. This is what you do. You take hold of the promises. You cannot pray and believe God for what you don't know. And you have to know what he says he will give you. I never pray my problem anymore. I pray the answer. You don't hear me crying very often either. You don't see me bawling and squalling around in the altars for myself. I grew up in Pentecost. I come up in Pentecost. And I've seen many a saint cry and cry and cry until they was about to die. I've prayed and cried till my guts were about to fall out. Didn't move God because I was missing the way to move God. And the way to move God is his word. Just believe it. The exceeding great and precious promises. That's how I enter into the kingdom. Good or what? God ain't going to feel sorry for you either. Answer your prayers. Poor pitiful you. You're poor pitiful you because you didn't do this. And look what verse 11 says. This is a promise. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now this point I'm preaching. I'm quoting this whole thing. I never will forget it. I'm a very young Christian. 1981, I got saved in 78. That's not a long time. But I had this down pretty quick. And I knew this was an important word. And so I'm preaching. God gave me this word, gave me this message for these people. And as I was preaching it, the whole congregation, about 100 people in this church, little Pentecostal church, and a cloud. It was just like a bright, glistening fog settled in on the people. I couldn't see them, but I saw a door. I saw an entrance door. And I'm preaching under such a powerful anointing. And I said, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. It'll be ministered to you abundantly. An entrance. You know, ministering. You know, God wants you to go to heaven more than you want to go to heaven. Because he knows how real heaven is. He knows how real hell is. He doesn't want anybody to perish. But he will minister to you. He will send you a neighbor. He will send you a brother or a sister who'll be praying for you. He will send you somebody to witness to you. He will do whatever he has to do to get your attention. Give you dreams, give you whatever, but he'll minister to you if you're just halfway trying. You just have to do these things I'm sharing. You'll be ministered to abundantly. An entrance will be, it'll be so easy to go to heaven. You're going to know you're going to heaven. I saw the door. I saw the door that here it is. Here's the entrance to heaven. I'm going to make sure you get in. I'm going to do everything I can to help you through angels ministering to you. I'm going to give you such an anointing. I'm going to give you the gifts of the Spirit. There's nine gifts. I don't know if he'll give them all to you, but he'll give you what you need to get into heaven. God is not trying to make heaven a hard place to get into, but we have to do it the way God says to do it. Y'all are getting this. We have to do it by the way he said to do it. And this is what Peter said. This is Peter talking here. An entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. And I don't think he's just talking about when you die. He's talking about enjoying heaven here. See, I enjoy heaven right here. I've already been ministered to abundantly an entrance into the kingdom. I'm living in the kingdom right now. I'm not going to need all these promises in heaven. There ain't going to be no devil in heaven. There ain't going to be no flesh to fight in heaven. I need the promises now. This is where you need these promises now. Yeah, that's true. Yes. Isn't this good? Yeah. Ain't going to be no devil to deal with in heaven. There won't be no flesh to deal with in heaven. Heaven won't need, you won't need all this. But it'll be easy to live for God in heaven. But when I leave here, I just know I'm going to be in the high heel kicking bunch that's up there shouting and praising God. Pastor Callahan said, Teresa, I never seen anybody dance like that. He just laughs. I guess sometimes I know my feet are just off the ground. I don't think. I don't care. I'm praising God. Isn't this been good today? Yes. Entrance will be ministered to you abundantly. This is good news. There's a lot of things that we have to do. Seemed like there was one more verse, but glory to God. This has been good. Has it been good? I think I do have one more verse. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I'll never forget the time that God began to reveal this to me, this verse right here. It goes right along with what I'm sharing. Verse 13. God spoke this to me, and I had been reading it wrong for years, been taught it wrong in churches for years. And this is what it says. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace, that ministering abundantly thing I'm talking about, that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Y'all get that? Y'all didn't get it because you've been taught wrong. You've been religiously brainwashed. You are not hearing it. What he's saying is that the revelation is the word for you to live in now. The revelation of Jesus now in your life and personal walk. Not when you go to heaven, for now. It's going to be brought to you. You're going to have more revelation of word. You get that one under your belt that by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, more will come. More will come. It's going to be brought to you through the revelation of the word. That's how you got to gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. The grace to be brought unto you is what he just said in chapter 1 there. He's going to minister to you abundantly. An entrance into the kingdom right now. You don't have to worry about backsliding. You don't have to worry about not making heaven your home. You're going to have everything you need. You'll never have another down day. You'll never have another depressed day. You'll never want another pill. You'll never want another drink. You'll never want another anything because you've got these exceeding great and precious promises under your belt. And they've been ministered to you abundantly in entrance. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Yes. Next time you're determined to slip in and hide and sneak into a liquor store, remember this. Scarf, head, a glass, sweater. I'm telling you, God is good. All the time. Father, I seal this word today and I thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.